Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be unto you all. Amen. Our text for today are the verses continuing right after the Lord's Prayer, where the disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And then as soon as he finishes teaching them the Lord's Prayer, verses 5 to 9 in Luke 11, "And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and go unto him at midnight, say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as much as he needeth. I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." This is our text. So guess what? We're talking about prayer. How we need prayer in the world today, in our lives today, in our church today. We need prayer more than ever before in the world, our nation, today. As we talk about prayer, we often think, well, God doesn't listen because we try to talk to him. St. Augustine's mother had a problem with her son. If you've ever studied any church history, early church history, St. Augustine was a great leader of the church, helped to put together our doctrines of the church. But guess what? As a young man, Augustine was a little bit wild. And his mother prayed for him and prayed for him. And he was still wild. And then one day, he told his mother, "I'm going down to the pier because my friend's leaving for Italy on the boat. I want to go see him off." He said, "Okay, I'll go with him, but tell him good." "No, no, no. You go to the church and pray for me." So she went to the church and he went to the pier to tell his friend goodbye. Of course, he got on the ship and sailed to Italy while his mother was praying that he wouldn't go. Amazing, isn't it? Because you know what happened on that trip to Italy? God got a hold of Augustine. And he was converted. He was maybe baptized as an infant. Some think he was, but he had totally blown his faith. But God got a hold of him and pulled him back to repentance. He repented and believed and became a great leader in the church. She was praying that he wouldn't go, but you notice that? How God answers our prayers, because the answer sometimes is not what we think it should be. Very often it's totally different. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Dave was preaching about the crippled man at Gate Beautiful at the temple, begging for alms. And he pointed out that man had been begging there all of his life. So probably many, many times he was there when Jesus came in and went out. When the apostles came in and went out. So what happened? The Bible in many places says, "You have not because you ask not." What was he asking for? He was asking for money. He was asked for money, and then Peter and John said, "We don't have any money. But what we'll do is give you what we have in the name of Jesus. Get up and walk." And then he got up and walked. All those years, apparently, he wasn't pleading and calling to God. I was reading through illustrations on prayer. Many, many illustrations tell about somebody says, "I lost my job. Then I lost my home, and then my family left." God doesn't care. God isn't there. They forgot what Job learned. Job learned all about prayer. He had his friends come to remind him about prayer and to blame him because God was giving bad things into his life, letting the devil rule there for a season. But he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I will return to the ground. Here I stand," kind of like Luther. "I cannot forsake God." Sometimes it seems we pray and pray and pray, and God doesn't hear. Matter of fact, we went through that recently, praying for rain. How many of you here were praying for rain within the last month? We were hammering and hammering and hammering on the door of heaven. But that's what God said we need to do. And guess what? It isn't always going to rain when we hammer on the door. But until God gives us a reason to stop praying, we still continue to pray and to hammer and hammer on the door until God finally says, "Oh, what is it that you want?" I would suppose many have come to church today with prayers that you have. Some for children, praying like Augustine's mother, that they will finally be turned around, and we pray and pray and pray, and yet we think God doesn't hear. Some husbands and wives are here today probably that didn't pray, "God, get her straightened out, get him straightened out." The problem very often is we're praying for this, "Get him straight." I mean, the problem is not him. We forget that it's a two-way street. And when we pray, we need to say, "God, whatever is best for me," that he's going to give us what is best. Sometimes you want to study about prayer, read James. I think it's in chapter 4. He's talking about prayer and how God doesn't always give you what you ask for. He says sometimes you don't ask for the right things. And sometimes you don't get anything because you didn't even ask him. And he makes how we need to go through every day of our lives. He said, "You don't even say we're going to St. Louis next week." He said, "God willing, we're going." And he likes to show us that we are in the Lord's hands every day, and we are dependent upon him for life of health, but especially every day for forgiveness. As he had just taught them the Lord's Prayer, I think a big lesson in there is there are 7 petitions we divide up the Lord's Prayer. How many of them are for physical, earthly things? How many? Hold up the number of fingers. How many of the petitions of 7 are for earthly things? What? 6 petitions for spiritual things. So the most important part of prayer should be, first of all, "Lord, I don't deserve anything from you but death and damnation, but by your grace and mercy, I have been called to believe in Jesus Christ. And I can come to him in prayer now because of what he has done for me. So now we can approach unto him and receive that assurance every day of forgiveness and life everlasting." We continue to pray. Some pray that Lord would take away their thorn in the flesh, whatever it is. A lot of you have, I have minus so flimsy, my sinus problems I've had all my life, and compared to what everybody has, many of you out there, it's nothing. With my sinus problem, I get to have Alan do all the liturgy for me, all I get to do is preach. And that's the fun part about it, is the preaching. But the thorn in the flesh, some of you have very serious problems, I'm sure, and you have been praying for answers, whether it be family problems, health problems, job problems, home problems, whatever it is, and you keep hammering and hammering. What does God tell you to do about it? He said, keep on hammering. keep on praying. Hear, O Lord, your name is holy, and you have told me to call upon you in the day of trouble. You have promised to answer me and give me, maybe not what I prayed for, to give me what is best for me. Remember what he said, is a father going to give the child a serpent when he asked for bread or whatever? The Lord knows what we need. And to pray for $1 million, how many of you really need $1 million? Some say, oh, it would really be nice. How about the lottery ticket? Say, offer so much, that's the world today. Would somebody just want $1 billion? Yeah, this is ridiculous. We don't pray to win the lottery. Even though I don't pray, I have won the lottery every time I bought a ticket. Guaranteed it. Because I never bought a ticket. But so I'm probably the winner compared to most people that paid for the lottery and didn't win. I'm the winner. But the disciples told Jesus, teach us to pray. So after he did the petitions, that's why he went to these verses here and says the friend goes to his neighbor and asks for bread and hammer door. And this is where, you know, it's not totally comparable to God, because God never gets tired of our prayer. He wants to continue to calling and calling and calling, but he's speaking to us in human terms, where we are thinking how our neighbor would be and how he doesn't want to hear, so we got to hammer louder, wake up, wake up. And finally, just to shut us out, he does it. But what God is saying to us may be the same thing. That's what, after 4 weeks of praying for rain, hammer, God said, okay. And then he gave us a deluge within a few days. But we are totally dependent upon him, and this is what he wants us to know, that we must be persistent in our prayer. If it seems like he didn't hear the first time, or the second time, or third time, or fourth time, pray and pray again. I was like that, the healing of the daughter of the Syrophoenician woman, the one who came to Jesus and said, my daughter needs help, and Jesus wouldn't listen. She cried. Finally turned to her and said, am I to take the children's bread and throw it out to the dogs? Calling her a Gentile dog. And you'd think that would have finally turned her away, but remember her response? Lord, the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. All I'm praying for are the crumbs. What a lesson for our prayer. Instead of praying for all the big things, to pray for the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And so she prayed and keeps on praying. Sometimes God answers us quickly. Sometimes the Bible says, while we are still speaking, he is answering our prayer. But other times, we pray and pray and it doesn't seem to help. But we dare not quit until we know the answer. James says, when you pray, how should you pray? You ask in faith. Ask in faith. So we believe that God will help. We believe that he was going to send rain, but if it didn't, you know, sometimes God upsets our lives totally to get us dependent upon him. We think we make God to fit our purposes, and he's going to give me rain today, and then, but day after tomorrow, I'm going to go out to the park, so Lord, don't let it rain then. And we try to. But did you ever realize what a job God has? While I am praying for rain here, somebody across the street is praying for sunshine. And God answers not according to what we're praying for, but according to his wisdom, what is best for us. And sometimes it's best for us to totally wipe out our present life, like he totally wiped out Job's life. Job's children had really become wild. They just didn't care about God or whatever anymore. And God just, he said, I wiped the whole thing out. And then he blessed Job with more children, more goods, more everything than he had before. And this is what he sometimes would do with our lives. We might be so set on one occupation or one home or one automobile, whatever, and we just pray, God, don't let me lose this. But maybe the plan in our lives is to lose this and get our lives totally straightened out and in line again. James says, you have not because you ask not. Submit yourself to God and say, Lord, forgive my sins. In the Bible, we have instances of those that prayed for things and didn't get them. Paul is probably the most obvious one with this thorn in the flesh for three different occasions. This probably means night and day. He prayed to God to take away the thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it was. And I think he doesn't tell us because whoever has thorns in the flesh wants you to think. Maybe that's what Paul had. But he prayed and prayed and prayed. But after the third occasion, God gave an answer. Remember? God said no. God said no, Paul. You need to be weak. You need to be weak so you're strong in me. In your weakness, you look to me for strength, and then I'm with you every day to give you strength and pick you up. And so the rest of his ministry, he thanked God for his thorn in the flesh. Remember King David praying for his son from Bathsheba, the sin child? And the child got sick, and God already told him the child didn't die. But he prayed and prayed and prayed. He wouldn't eat, he wouldn't sleep, and just constantly was praying. And then his household was really worried about him and wanted him to get up and get something to eat. And finally they said, the child died. We can't tell him. Because what's he going to do after he finds out the child is dead? But they told him. The child is dead. He read it in their minds because they were being so quiet. And he got up and he washed and dressed himself and ate. And they said, how is it, King, that when you thought the child was still alive, you wouldn't eat or drink, and you just prayed, said, I thought maybe God would change his mind. But he didn't. And I shall not see him. He will not come to me, but I will go to him again in eternity. And so God said no again to David. So when we pray for specific things and don't get them, the fault might be within us. We might be praying for things God doesn't want to give us. With every prayer, we need to start out with our unworthiness. Lord, I am a sinner, and I daily need forgiveness. And the real purpose of prayer, I feel, is what God is doing through prayer is molding us to accept his answer. Lord, this is what I need, I think. But if you think something else is better for me, oh Lord, your will be done. Thy will be done. Always when we pray for earthly things, Lord, if it be thy will. But when we pray for temporal, therefore, eternal things, for forgiveness of sins and a stronger faith, the gift of the Holy Spirit, God wants us to have those, so there is no doubt in our mind that these are going to come to us immediately, but as we go through life, we realize there are going to be the ups and the downs, the bright spots and the dim spots, the high times and the low times, but never leave God out of your plan. Every day, when you get up in the morning, Lord, what do you want me to do today? How do you want me to live? For whom do you want me to pray? Because our prayers are supposed to be outgoing. The trouble is so often it's me, Lord. I need this, I need that. But the more we turn around and see somebody else's problems and pray for them, the more the Lord is going to bless us in our lives and our insurance. God will never break a promise. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. And then the response, and you shall glorify me. We sing, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And that's what I want to remind you and myself again today, what prayer is all about. That prayer is getting ourselves to mold around God's promises, getting ourselves ready to accept God's answer, whether it's yes, no, or wait a while, but praying every day, Lord, forgive me my sins. Give me the assurance that I have that eternal life with you in heaven. Never let me leave you nor forsake you. In his name, amen. Now may that wonderful peace with God that we have through the forgiveness of our sins in Christ Jesus hold us steadfast in the faith unto life everlasting.